things include.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering, like, what was the music school like when you came? Like, where did you meet the classes, or the type of facilities they had, or what was going on as far as what the school was like?
During 1952, I came here, that's the time I came. We met at the Cook Hall, so same name like this building in Cook Hall, but Cook Hall, that time is where Dr. McCall's working right now, on Lexington Road, on the other side of the road. And everything is in that building. It is downstairs, when you walk into the front and you have an office, and I remember Dr. Kieran's office is on the right-hand side, and we have some classrooms there, and practice room upstairs, and voice teachers teaching voice in the first floor, and piano teachers teach there. It's everything on one floor in that building. But we don't have as many students we have today. The facilities really is nothing to speak of. I have to tell you, I came over here as a foreign student, and I need some financial help. Therefore, I asked for a job. They assigned me to do 10 hours of work at the football, sort of like maintenance in the janitor job. So I clean up the place 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. But I knew exactly the extent of our library. Now, we don't have any music. The music library is not in the main library. The main library at that time was where the Applauders Hall, where the Stephen Lyons was there right now. At that time, all the music we had, scores and the records I can say probably less than 50 or 100, I don't think it's 100, less than 50, it's all in one of the closets. And that's all we have. We have some practice room upstairs. Not bad, but it's not as good. Very low ceiling, and ventilation is very poor, but it was very poor. But we managed to study.
Well, like, what kind of pianos, or how many, I guess, if I'm
right. Well, the pianos, I have to say this way, because I came from, even though I came from France, seeing some of the nice conservatory music over there. But I've been there only 1 year. So at that time, my mind was what I had used to in China. And so this is really high class. But to compare with other schools, after I got out of school, and I can see that some of the pianos are very old. The teacher's piano are very good. We're pretty good. We have some grand piano I remember the piano teacher. That's a very good piano in those piano rooms. The voice teacher has also a grand piano. I have to tell you that I also served as a faculty when I came over. Same time, a student, janitor, and faculty. I taught 11 hours a week. In voice, and in sizing, ear training. With my training in Paris, France, I was concentrating voice and the solfège, which is decided in the system that the French people use. So, when I teach, I have to use the classroom piano. Classroom piano is not as good as studio pianos. They're all upright. But still not too bad. As far as practice concerned, practice piano, because I remember I did most of my practice, let me tell you this, because the room upstairs in the third floor and the fifth hall are so tiny and so crowded. So I discovered in the basement of Rice Hall, where the wash and dryer used to be, and this old beat up piano. So I do a lot of practice over there. Nobody bothered me, and I just gonna wash my, do my laundry and do my practice down there. Sometimes I do my writing down there. And I also Huggies and the Mullins fall down, so they also have a piano. It's all scattered over in the basement. But those piano were in very poor shape. Mm. Yeah. So I don't have much in the chair.
Well, who were some of the professors who were then? I imagine you didn't have too many.
Well, we didn't have too many. The only one still here doing those days is Dr. Heron, of course, Dr. McElrath. Now, those days we have another voice teacher, Ms. Mossman. Now she's married and she was teaching at University of Maryland, a very fine singer as well as a very fine teacher. She's a great Westminster. Hmm. And then Mr. Farrell Stevens. Farrell Stevens was my voice teacher, and now he's teaching in Oregon, Portland, Oregon. Then we have Mrs. McElrath taught children's choir, literature, and American material. And we have two ladies, we have just graduated from Southwest and came over with Dr. Perry, Mabel Washington, Carson Children. Education, music education courses at that time. We don't have too many teachers. Very small. Dr. Allman was one of my favorite teachers here at that time, but for one reason, because I am also interested in composition, and so having to do part of composition here. Then we have Dr. Darling, taught conducting and taught core literature. Very fine.
Had the winters already left? What was the emphasis?
Oh, by the way, Kenneth Poole also, he was the organist. Did you have that name in your research?
No, I don't think so.
P-O-O-L, Kenneth Poole.
Did we have, what kind of organ did we have?
Well, at this time we had this Skinner in the chapel. Some of the courses we do. Some of the classes were held upstairs of the chapel. I remember our choral rehearsals up here. Kenneth Poole taught his anthem literature here because all our anthems were stored over in the chapel upstairs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you go up to the chapel now, I would say on opposite of the Lexington side, on the campus side, that side we have a lot of choral literature. Library parts up there, and at the classroom on the Lexington Road side.
Hmm.
Yeah. And that's, we also utilized the basement of the chapel in those days. That was a big, the recital was always held in the basement of the recital. Now it's converted to some of the studios now, the practice studio.
Hmm. What was the emphasis of the school when you came? Was it basically choral or vocal or? Or was it in switching?
I really don't think there's any specific emphasis. I think this school has always emphasized one thing, that is the apply area for the student. What that means, if a student coming, his area of concentration, his applied skill, in whatever area that is his emphasis.
Hmm.
We are very, at that time, I came in as a voice student, so the school gave me a lot of time for me to study with the teacher, and allowed me more time to work on. And also, I studied composition, it's also part of my major. So, everybody has different emphasis in their own area. And I think it's happening right now the same way. Choral is always, and then I would find real strong in the choral is always actually in the center of the school because we were hoping all the students would go out, that's what they're going to do. And so choral program has always been in the center of my career and myself.
You mentioned about how the facilities were a little bit shaky as compared to those in France and everything else. What brought you here as a student, as opposed to, say, Southwestern or Westminster?
Very interesting. The first reason is because, I studied in Shanghai, and I went to Hong Kong and worked as a minister of music in the Baptist Church. they never heard it. Never had the title before that there's a choir like this. So I worked there for almost 3 years. The missionary has encouraged me to come to the United States to study. So they encouraged me, and they think, they say, well, there will be a scholarship for you for the United States study. So I was very grateful for that. But I feel like that I must finish my conservatory training before I come to the United States, my undergrad program. So I choose to go to Paris, France first, because I like a 1.5 year in Shanghai conservatory to finish my undergraduate work over there. So I went to France. As soon as I finished there, I wrote the Foreign Mission Board and says, well, I am ready to come if your scholarship will be, it's still open for me. Well, they said, yes. It seems like you're coming from Paris to New York, and the best place for you to go is going to Louisville. He said, it's closer. I'm coming on the East Coast, but if I come from Hong Kong, if I'm landing West Coast, and I'm sure I will be an alumni of Southwestern. I have no choice, and I don't know anything about the schools. I'm very fortunate that I studied in the East Coast and this school.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that. Where did you live when you came? Were you single or were you married?
Yeah, I was married. I came with my wife. I was first came here. First person met me was Bob Allen. Bob Allen was the business manager on the campus. He met me at Martin Hall. He says, "Welcome to the campus, and let me take you to your room." He gave me 2 pillows. And brought both of us up to the main hall, second floor.
Yeah.
I have a room next to Emmanuel Bahunzi.
Oh.
Yeah. You know Bahunzi, he's from South Africa.
Yeah.
From Africa. So I lived there for 7 months, and then I found an apartment on North Road. And then I moved out there.
Yeah. That's very interesting. I realized reading out of the deal that married music students were very rare on campus.
It was quite rare because I was a foreign student. Most of the foreign student married students are put in the main hall 7th floor. The boys and girls can be on 7th floor on that one. The other places are all strictly segregated. And by the way, I forgot to tell you, I've moved to North Bell for a while. And during my second year study here, the seminary purchased the Green Tree Manor of that time, and now it is now the seminary village.
Oh.
Yeah, we were the first generation moving there.
Y'all should have some sort of medal for that.
Well, it was not easy. Of course, the spacious, to us, it was very spacious when we go to Green Tree Manor.
Oh, compared to Manly Hall,
yes, it's an awesome apartment. But nowadays we think, you know, today's students, you know, it's a problem. Move down when you go to Seminole Village compared with the nicer apartments you have on Greenstead Road. But when we moved there, it really was quite exciting. Everybody was very grateful when we can get into Green Tree Manor. And I remember the apartments already very old and the members of my church came over to paint the house. Don't move in there until we find something. So they painted the whole apartment for us.
Which church were you attending?
Well, when I came to Nancy, I was a member of Highland Baptist Church. Then I was invited to Jefferson County Baptist Church. Brother Slade, a Canadian minister, he invited me to go to be the minister of music at that church. I worked there since almost the second semester when I got here. Then I stayed there for the year and a half and very fine church. That was, my brother Slade died after the first year, and then Dr. West came over as interim pastor, so we have completely foreign ministers ministers of that church.
That would be very interesting to hear. What was the attitude
at the seminary at that time, and seminary students toured this new school of music and for the music students. I thought it was a very wholesome spirit. My opinion at that time may not be the same as much other people, because it just overwhelmed me. It was overwhelming to me to see a school like this and a music school like all of that. Even though now it looks like this, not much, but at that time that's something what the nomination has done for a seminary and the training that we offered. I was overwhelmed by the spirit of the school. The students seemed very, very close knit together. That's my first impression, because they really like a family, because it was so small. Really is like a family. I can recall now, even during the break, we were having a class. We would sit down together in the lounge. We would help each other study, and we talk about family things. And we're like a very, very close knit. And that's the impression I'm in the middle of
that. That's something we kind of miss nowadays.
It's still so big. Yeah. Now we still have that kind of spirit, but in groups, but not as a whole. It's impossible.
Yeah. So basically, I've heard different, no one had ever said anything, but sometimes I'll pick up in readings and all that music students were treated differently, or more or less maybe even sometimes looked down upon by some of the theology.
Certainly, because it's so new, it's like a stepchild in the school. I think professors have that kind of viewpoint, because they have a new school. They never know how to react to it, and it's strange to them. I'm sure it was. Here comes the school, and the professors are all in a different discipline, and so it is strange to them. And therefore, I agree with what you say, but I think music school students later on has proved that what they have, their training before they come to seminary, and what they are doing part of their school, in school, and then when they get into the field, they have proved themselves. And church music is just a part of the ministry.
What choir opportunities were available to you?
Choir?
Yes.
Okay, at that time we have a seminary choir like we have today, and that's only one choir. Then we have oratorio choirs, which is in goes all other students at every school, and the resident people from outside campus to have only two choirs. Then later on, almost the second year, just before I left, I think, Mr. Stevens organizes male choirs. Yeah. We have limited women on campus at that time. In order to have a fairly balanced group, we cannot use too many men to sing in the seminary choir. Therefore, we have overfilling, so the male choirs started.
Was the seminary choir just for music, or was either choir just for music students?
Seminary choir for us. They also served as chapel choir.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And did they sing every day?
Almost every day. I never forget, at our class, we have to run and furious to get over here, put on the rope to get into the chapel. See, we have to come into Dr. McCall, where he ran. And just I remember those days, the students drove cars and just hung and all of a sudden patted the several cars and real fast drive over here to get the rope around and get in. It was quite a chore.
Hmm. who at the time, and this may be hard to answer, was the most popular at the music faculty? Was there anybody who the students kind of looked to as their friend and who got along with everybody? Or?
Yeah, I really don't think there's one person that I can pinpoint. As I told you, that the school, the students were very close to me. And therefore, we work with the faculty very well. The faculty is being also very close to students. So I really can say there's one particular person is more like. See, I think now, you know, even look back, it seems Dr. Magra has been here so long. But at that time, he was just finished his work at the seminar. He just barely come to teach. So he's almost like one of the students as well as a faculty.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I cannot say who's more popular, but certainly he has been here so long. I cannot mention who that is. Dr. Darling was very popular. I might even want to say popular. He's very well-liked. He teaches courses for students all the time. It's essential that he taught conducting here, and all the students have to take conducting. He's a very nice person. So, well, we get along well out there.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, I know I'm going to ask. Was Dr. Johnson?
Johnson?
Yeah, was he in Bob Johnson's school?
Before my time.
Okay.
Bob Johnson even before the Winters got here. So as soon as the Winters got here, and Bob Johnson has eased out from Mrs. Face, I think, and he became more into the theology school. So as soon as I have been here, he has not been active in Mrs. school at all.
Was there, this would probably be hard to answer too, was there a typical music student at the time? I mean, was there, what was most of the music students like as far as, had they been majors of music in college, or did they have college degrees, or did a lot of them, were they just coming without any real advanced training in music before they got here?
Well, it varies. Mm-hmm. Some of them has very good trainings and then very well-trained musician. And there's some of them I heard quoted today. And we have those today, even today. And some of them really grow after they got here. And I can't even tell you what the percentage would be compared to today. There are some less trained students, but everybody worked together very hard. Students are more sympathetic at that time.
What type of entrance requirements did the school have? I mean,
besides the transcript, like what we have, I think the requirements have not changed too much. We didn't have a stiff, what we call the entrance exam placement test like we have today here. Now we have a very extensive placement test today in all areas of music, theory, harmony, history, all sorts. In those days, let me say, for one thing is, during the 50s, musicians or the professors are not classified in a special field like we're classified today. Today was a Mr. So-and-so is a singer, he's also a musicologist. He's a singer in music education. He's a pianist, conducting. We're very specialized, more specialized today than we have been.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the past, so if you got a music degree, they didn't ask too much. They didn't just work with you. But we have placement tests in applied area. not in a written area, not an academic area.
Mm-hmm. Looking back at the school for your years that you're here, what would you say were the major weaknesses of the school?
I think it's not a school. Now I'm speaking from, again, I'm speaking from on my background, my personal background, because I studied so much in China and in Europe, I think it's not the school's problem, it's the total American society, total American education problem. That is, we spread ourselves very thin. No one can concentrate on the area, on a certain area that really develop itself. With our curriculum here on our campus now, and also in the Gulf States area, no person can really push it to 3 hours on what they do in their performing area to develop themselves. Now, of course, we must say to become a church musician, doesn't have to be a performer, which is true. But at the same time, we learn from performing. We learn the musical knowledge through performing. We learn the understanding of music through practicing, through study. And so we lack of that phase of our study. We just don't go deep enough. We don't have time. So many things demand our time. And the weakness, again, is not a weakness of school, because now students come to our school now, they are married, they have family, they must have a job in church. If the church doesn't pay them enough, they have a whole second job to just barely, you know, go through here. So this is the problem. When I was studying in Conservatory in Shanghai, there's no job available. If you don't have the money, you cannot go to the school. And if you have money, you pay at the beginning, you just stay there and study. In France, it's the same way. Students very seldom can find a job. Very seldom. You know, especially foreign students, it's almost impossible. So I can devote all my time to study. Once you get to the United States, I told you at the beginning, I worked 10 hours as a janitor, 11 hours teaching, and I was carrying 18, 19 hours a semester. Mm. And I have a church. I'm wearing grocery.
How would you say that the music school, if any way, changed from when you first got here as a student to the time that you graduated, that couple of years later? What kind of changes were you seeing occur in the music school?
Well, it has, you have to know that when I got here in 1952, was Dr. Kim's first year here as the director of the music school at that time. We didn't have a music school at the thing. You know, director of the music, church music department, or so forth. He knew that the equipment is our big problem. We don't have library, and we don't have a good facility. So, progress has been made during that 2 year, getting new pianos, replaced the old ones, and our library was continuously improved. And after that was, in that 2 years, that was the case. We didn't hire any new teachers in that 2 years, but I knew later on we did have some turnovers.
Okay. Some of my questions would not really apply because they were asking about generalizations about the school of church music, how it developed in the 50s, and because of the limited span. The easiest thing to do is, what kind of things do you remember that I haven't touched on that you would like to share?
Well, in those days, seminary choir and tour every year for two purposes. One is evaluations, the other is for recruitment. Mm-hmm. Okay.
and do tutor. And we're not tutoring them anymore.
Why?
Number one, it's too expensive. Number two, students are too busy. It's too busy. Our students are getting to church tomorrow, and the church demands so much out of our students. And they cannot do any Sundays, Wednesdays. When they do that, they never go back home for Christmas or Easter. They only save those days. Well, it's very hard for our students to do it today.
We can solve that a little bit.
Have both sides. I think the thing is, I will say, the good thing about that touring is you do tour different churches and see different places in churches in action. Maybe today, I can steal that today. We need that because many of our students grew up in one type of church. That's the only thing they know about. They don't know smaller church, how they operate, larger church, how they operate. They need to see different type of ministries. I think that's the thing that I've often exposed to. Good thing about that for our students today is they have gone through 4 years college. If they are active in college choir, they may have toured before. They may have seen different churches before. But the problem is, most of our students, a lot of our students do not go to the denominational school. They may not they be through in the college choir, and they may not have been at Baptist church. And that's one of the things we have today. And we have less students today from here. We don't have as many. Our students are not only coming from the Baptist tradition, which is good. It's a different kind of challenge for us. And also, it's a good mixture for our other students to see. That's an advantage. But then the disadvantage is you have only 2 or 3 years. You have to keep teaching everything about the Baptist Church, Baptist tradition, how to go out and make a living, and how to work with the people, all kinds. And so little time, if they have not grown up in Baptist churches, very hard for them to understand.
Did students at that time, like Amedoy, was the position of a minister of music defined, for a Baptist church at that time?
At that time, the way they define it. Now, yes, it's more glorified a song leader and a glorified a music director job. The ministry has not really come to play. But today, our students have more training in or understanding of what ministry is. But I can say this, and sometimes they are, maybe they're weaker. They spread out much more. That musically, they are not as strong, or they are not as concerned.
How would you say the school as a whole is prepared? How well they do their job?
Well, I think they prepare well for that time. I think school has always went along with the time and demand of the teachers that are in the field. And I think at that time our students always prepared well for what the church required. And I remember the year I graduated. One of my classmates went to this Baptist church, Harrisburg, Mississippi. That is, because you cannot be in a bigger church than anyone in Mississippi, kind of thing. And went in the Second Baptist Church, Arkansas. That's very large, huge church. Mm-hmm. And the one went to St. John's Baptist Church at Charleston, now Charlottesville, North Carolina. That's the biggest church in that state almost. Very prestigious church. They are well placed because the churches look very similar.
Were the women as easily placed as the men at that time?
I really don't know. I didn't pay that much attention. I just think that's it. But at that time, the Albany's job was did open for the women's churches. And we did say that's opening for Albany's and children's choir for Albany, the children's choir for Albany. And many of them came back to you, some of them still.
Now, did you go on for further graduate work when you left here?
I left here. I went a full-time job at Danville, Kentucky. And from there, I stayed there for 14, 15 miles. Then I was invited to join the faculty at Oklahoma Baptist University, Oklahoma. And I taught there 12 years. I took 1 year to leave of absence instead of summers and then finish my doctoral work.
I was just going to say that you felt the school prepared you well for what you did.
Yes, in fact, this is very interesting. 1961, I went to Kansas City to do my doctoral work. They were very skeptical about the students matching here from seminary. And they thought they went this year from Southern. So, I wish you had told me you're from South Louisville. That probably won't be a swear in that seminary. That's exactly what they said. In fact, that I have 70 hours on my master's degree. They accept about 20 for my master's. I was a very highly regarded from different types of schools.
That's about all I have. Is there anything else you'd like to add or remember that?
This is not it.
Well, I'm very interested. I don't know if you know, my wife is Lucy Wetsworth.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see now. Okay, I understand.
And so that's what part of my interest in the music school.
Right, okay.
And I was just really disappointed and I talked with Dr. McElrath about it, and he was too, that there's just never been anything really done in the School of Church Music.
Okay, very interesting.
Maybe y'all need to put a pin in some of your.
That's right.
Because really, it.